Hey, we are at it again, back at it again, episode 18. What's up, everybody? This is Fourth and Fantasy. It's your boy Honcho, and this is my guy,
Let's go, Rocco.
Rocco Big Honcho. This is we're coming to the last bit of our playoff time, Rocco. I don't know about you viewers. I don't know about everybody else, how you are personally feeling after Thursday's game, after yesterday's game. I'm still doing fairly well in certain championship games. It's not looking too good. And one certain game, it's James Conner did me bad, and then you had CeeDee Lamb get ruled out during the week. Those are not recipes that you would want to deal with during your championship week. But you know what? We're still thriving. We're still going. I'm still going to walk out this 2024 fantasy season with some championships. It is what it is. Rocco, how you feeling after these last couple days?
Oh man, I'm getting over the holiday hangover. Knock on wood, I'm doing pretty good right now, projected at 5-4. But weird shit can happen. But I'm looking good in some leagues. The ones I want to win, I'm looking fairly good in. And the ones I'm projected to lose, and I still got a chance. I'm not down by 100 god darn points, so I still have a chance. I'm looking in some of my leagues, and some people are just smashed already. I see people down like 150 points, and you just
Yeah,
don't have a
brother.
freaking shot. I hate those. I don't know. What do you hate worse? You hate the ones where you just get blown out of the water, or the ones you lose because you fucked up a lineup decision?
I think I hate the ones worst where it's a lineup decision, because that means that you could have, if it wasn't for that lineup mess up, that you were in the game. You could have came out on top. And something like yesterday, I had a very last minute change I did was DeMario Douglas. He was in my starting lineup. He came out that game 14 points, but I ended up moving him out the way to get, I believe, Ryan Blackshear, who I think I will end up moving anyway for Mike Boone for the championship game. It's always those toss ups that you see when everything is hindsight, right? After the game, you're like, fuck, I should have went with that person. But it's kind of those are the decisions that make or break a championship.
Yeah, I got a couple screw ups. I sat Travis Kelce on Christmas in favor of Tucker Kraft. Kelce had been getting single digits for the longest time, and he really screwed me in my championship last year. So I think I had a little that was in my mind a little bit. So hopefully that doesn't come back to kick me in the ass. I sat Ladd McConkey in favor of AJ
Ooh, that's a
Brown
tough
and
one.
DJ Moore. And I just knew he was going to have a big game. I don't know why I didn't figure out a way to get him in my lineup, but I didn't. A short starting lineup. Still looking good due to Trey McBride's 30 burger. But I also could pat myself on the back a little bit. I took out Michael Pittman in favor of Marvin Mims. And that dude absolutely smashed with
Yes,
two
he
touchdowns
bowled.
and over 100 yards. So he's given me a chance in a league where I had little chance. So we'll see how that works out today. Quick question.
Yeah.
Kenny Pickett, or are we going to get Chiggy with it? Tight end premium. What you
We
thinking?
go. I go Chiggy here. I like Chiggy.
That's what I'm thinking. I think the floor is low for Pickett. But I think I think you're onto something.
I like Chiggy. He got me out of the playoffs in one of my money leagues, and single-handedly got me out, actually. It was him, Jonathan Taylor, all got me out that week. But specifically, I didn't see that coming from Chiggy. But he actually has been on a tear the last, 2, 3 weeks. He's getting the targets. I like Chiggy, especially in front of ahead of Pickett, who Dallas defense has started to play better towards the end of the year. AJ Brown has did look, sort of nice, with Pickett last week. He had a nice low reception, but Pickett is not somebody who I am very much counting on this week.
Fuck, fuck it, based on your advice and my own confirmation bias, Chiggy is in.
Go with that boy Chiggy. Before we get too deep into it, follow us on Blue Sky. Before we get into our topics of today, follow us on Blue Sky. We is growing. We is thriving. We are not at 390. We are at, like, I think 412-ish, 410. I think we're at 412. The latest number is 412. So we are growing. Yeah, I got to get a new screenshot. Yeah, I got to get a new screenshot. No, I don't want to keep doing new screenshots every single time, you know, we keep growing. But, no. You know, but, yeah, follow us on Blue Sky. You know, we're going to be – I'm definitely going to be live tweeting today as the games go on.
It's a and skeet that's in, it's a skeet in Blue Sky. Skeet, 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 skeet.
I didn't know what the fuck that meant at first until I was like, people were like, oh, you're a skeeter. And I was like, yo, what kind of horn? I thought we left that horn dog shit on Twitter. I thought that's what I thought we were doing. But let's hop into these recap of these games, man. These Thursday, Saturday games, man. Well, I guess we don't really have to go over the Thursday one since we were technically on live while that was going, and it ended up being a snooze fest anyway.
Who wants to talk about that shitty ass game? Anybody who had somebody in that game, you are struggling right now. These are some
you are hurt.
Down 150 points right now because you got single digits from everybody who mattered.
That game set you back. The Seahawks came out on top, 6-3 against the Chicago Bears. And yeah, bro, I was like, yo, what is going on?
Your fantasy's gonna look terrible when you have
a low scoring game,
baseball game.
Yeah, like DeAndre Swift actually had he ended up getting more points than he was projected to, even though it didn't seem like he had a nice game. He had a decent game. I think he probably was the only one who came out of that game having a pretty decent performance.
Yeah, Swift got double digits. DJ Moore got like 11 or 12.
DJ Moore.
Your lineup settings, but your quarterback's got you about 5 to 7 points.
Yep.
Keenan Allen got you under double digits. So did JSN, a guy who's been getting people to this point.
I was happy about that one.
Mm-hmm. Less than 10 points. And yes, I mean, I didn't have him anywhere where I needed him. So, that was a beautiful thing to see. Nobody did shit. So if you had anybody in that game, and that's why it's so scary to start people in these non-Sunday games.
Yeah, these early games.
You start them, and then you're just kind of screwed until Sunday because you just – you're just going to look at that low score, and then you're just going to do crazy shit to try to catch up, and it just it's just not going to work for you. If you scored that 6 points on Sunday, you wouldn't worry about it, but now you're just going to you're just going to lose your shit for the next couple of days cuz you know you are now in a bad spot.
Yeah. And then one of the games that and the players that you had brought up before, Ladd McConkey, Chargers versus Patriots. Chargers whooped the Patriots 40-7. Ladd McConkey had a big game, 2 touchdowns, 90 plus yards. I was somebody who was going against Ladd. I did not want that shit to happen, but it did. Go Dawgs, whatever. It is what it is. Ladd did, and now it's kind of funny because I had Ladd in a couple championships, and it seems like he's going to help me win. But also, he set me and put me in a bad spot in a $50 league. So, well, I don't know how to feel.
You're really lucky because he was this close from having another long touchdown that Herbert just missed him on.
And just, I saw been, that one.
That would have been the triple burger, the hat trick, and that would have definitely buried you. So, yeah, he could have had more because – you know, the game was essentially over by the start of the fourth quarter, and he was just getting open at will. So he had a big day, but it could have been even much bigger. So I would have been kicking myself in the ass even more for sitting him down and
yeah,
getting a potential 40 burger that he almost had.
It made me think about a trade that I did back in August before the season even started. I had the league that he just beat me in. He was on my team to originally begin with. And I had went on, this is around the time that I went on like a Zay Flowers spree. And the it kind of made me mad because the team that I initially had, I had Derrick Henry on my squad at one point. That if I stopped right there, I might have this, and I don't think I'm out still. James Conner set me back a little bit, and we'll get to that game as well that happened yesterday. James Conner set me out, set me back a bit. Zay Flowers set me back a bit, but Mark Andrews came, did his thing.
Zay in theory is much better than he is in practicality.
Yes,
Like
it's
he's got
very
all
much
the
setting me
talent in the
back.
world.
If I had to look back at it, I probably would not had, I probably would have stopped, would have just kept my team where it was. I really believed in Zay Flowers this season. I thought he was going to take a bigger jump. He still had a 1,000-yard season, but I thought he was going to have a bigger season. I think Ladd McConkey's having a bigger season than what Zay Flowers is. So yeah, that part really hurt me. And then we had the Bron, I think one of the best games of the night. Broncos Bengals 24 to 30. Bengals on top. That game went into overtime. It was crazy. You had Marvin Mims going wild. You had Bo Nix launching balls. Ja'Marr Chase, it started off slow but then came on at the very end. What do you think of that game?
I think we sat through, let's see, two, three, four. We sat through about six shitty games to get one good game,
One
and
good
it was
game,
a, and it was all worth it because that game was freaking amazing. I mean, it started out slow, but the second half was just, it was just lights out.
Like
I
throwing them
think
hoes.
Bo Nix has taken an evolutionary step up the ladder. He is, no doubt in my mind, he is damn near, the QB1. I mean, look at what Jaden Daniels has done, and he's done some amazing things. And I mean, but it's, it's hard to take one over the other because both of them have been so good this year.
They have.
So the other quarterbacks, the jury's still out. Caleb Williams looked kind of trash on Thursday, but he's in a terrible situation.
You know, it's kind of
Trey.
funny you say that. When before the season, all it was said that Caleb Williams is in the best position that a number one overall has ever been put in. Now we're saying he's in a horrible position. It's kind of funny.
To be honest, in my own personal ranks and kind of the way I had it, I thought J.J. McCarthy was in the best position, honestly, because I mean he was coming into a system that was already built, that propped up Kirk Cousins, great head coach, great receiving weapons, just a good team for him to walk right in. Unfortunately, he blew his knee out before the season started, but in my opinion, I thought he was in the best situation. Caleb Williams walked into talent, yes, but that coaching staff is a joke. It was atrocious. We knew it was bad from what they did to Fields, and it bore out, and everybody's been fired, and he's now on the third person, I think, calling plays, and he's gonna have a new coach and a new system walking into next year. So right now they're just playing out the string, but in my opinion, I think. When J.J. McCarthy walks back onto the field next year, he'll be in a damn good situation. Sorry, Darnold, you're not taking that man's job. They're not going to pay you $40 million. Good luck in San Francisco when they let Purdy walk.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with that one. I personally think that Sam Darnold has done enough to keep that starting position job. Truly, look where he has the Vikings right now. One of the better, I think the best record in the NFC. A lot of people wrote Sam Darnold off, and he's still young. He's
Oh,
27
he's gonna
years
get
old.
paid. He's just not gonna get paid with the Vikings.
You know what I mean? And then with the Vikings, you're going to have to check this out because you're taking a big gamble on JJ. Like, you're hoping JJ McCarthy's knee comes back like he
They're
needs
taking a
to.
big gamble by giving Sam Darnold $40 million per.
That is also
I
very
mean,
true. So it's.
the Giants did that by making the playoffs with Danny Dimes
Any
and
dimes?
set
I
their
don't know.
franchise back, big time. I don't think the money works out. There's smarter people than me, talking about it, and they're gonna lose a lot of players if they give Sam Darnold $40 million, which he is gonna get in the open market. Let's not fool ourselves. He's gonna get about 4 years and $40 million from somebody. Will it be the Vikings? That's a big point of debate.
So one of the things that happened this week, Chuba Hubbard has been placed on IR. He is done. His 2024 season is a wrap.
I'll
And
take
boy,
my
was
hubber.
it a season. That pissed me off to begin with. The CD news had already put me up here, right? The Chuba almost had me ready to crash out because all week, all you heard was, oh, he's limited, or he's not practicing, or he's just getting some rest. And then you hear that he
Jason
had a
Harris lied to
flare-up.
you.
Yo, he can see me with the hands today. The problems that he had pushed me into. But now you have the choice of having to start either Ryan Blackshear, Shire, Blackshire, Blackshear, whatever his name is, or Mike Boone, our beloved Dynasty community RB. I personally don't know how to feel about this. I had Chuba, in many different leagues, and just to see him get wiped out in championship week is so disgusting. So disgusting. Now, moving into our next topic, since we were talking about Ladin, this is one of the things that kind of got me thinking, or just put it into perspective, right? Looking at and the way and reason why I put it this way, because initially in that 2000, this previous rookie wide receiver class, there was a big three: Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze. And then you had the rest of the guys. Those were the top three. But we've seen guys go behind them have bigger years this year. So, how do you feel about Ladd McConkey, Brian Thomas Jr. now at this point of the season compared to the big three of how they performed this year? And then I want you to think about going forward, how you project these guys.
Odunze is definitely last. I think he has real talent, but he's also in some real shit. Real shit being in a shit situation. A quarterback that we're not as sure of as we were coming into the season. We have no idea what their coaching staff looks like. They're just a bad team, and it's hard to invest in a bad team, especially when you already have a wide receiver one on the team. I'm sure Keenan Allen probably leaves in some form after the end of the season, but you still have DJ Moore, and DJ Moore is the clear number one on that team. After that, it's, I mean, Marvin Harrison, he just shows you the flashes.
He had a couple big
And
catches yesterday.
he had a couple big catches, but then he'll go, weeks where he puts up 5 fantasy points, and it makes you wonder what exactly is going on there. I just think it's kind of a lost season for Arizona. I think it's the first full season back for Kyler Murray. He needs to stop playing Call of Duty in the second half of the season and get his shit together. But I think they're close. I think they're a team that frustrated a lot of people this year, but I'm ready to go and reinvest in that team next year. There's no way McBride ends up with the one touchdown next year.
Yeah, he finally got his TD. He's his
And
one TD of the season.
I like what they're saying. Marvin Harrison and Kyler Murray saying, hey, look, we need to spend the whole off season together. We need to get that connection strong. It's not like Marvin Harrison is not a good football player. I just think their connection isn't as strong as some of the other guys. And as far as,
I mean, hold on. Before you, and I also put this into perspective last night when I was thinking about it. Think of where the Cardinals had to draft just to get Marvin Harrison Jr., the number two spot. You had to be at the number two spot to grab Marvin Harrison Jr. You're not at that same spot this year, right? So, yes, did you have the year that you thought you were going to have? No. But it didn't go as bad as it did previously. You have things that you can work on. You have a building block, a foundation to move forward with. Now it's just about gelling that, right? It's about getting on the right page with Marvin Harrison Jr., Kyler Murray, and McBride, so that, and maybe getting a number two in there. I don't think they have an adequate number two wide receiver on that team to really help when things go wrong for Marvin Harrison
Yeah,
Jr. or
you know, like Michael Wilson.
No, the fuck, I do not.
I like Michael Wilson. I just don't
No,
know.
the fuck,
Just
I do
hasn't
not.
happened for
It's not just, and it probably won't. He's just not one of them guys. He and it's okay. I'm not saying he sucks. This is not me. This is not Honcho saying that Michael Wilson sucks. This is me saying he is not a difference maker on that offense. So it is what it is. I liked him coming out of Stanford, but he just, once again, not one of those guys for me. When I look at the season for Ladd and Bryce Thomas Jr., Ladd has had his QB almost, I think Herbert has missed one game, maybe, or actually, maybe not missed any games this year. So Ladd has had his QB1 almost, or if all year, right? Brian Thomas Jr. has not had Trevor Lawrence all year. And what I thought was pretty wild, and I didn't notice, the last 4 weeks he's gained or earned double-digit targets. He's been on a nice little hot streak, a nice little tear. You know what I mean? And Brian Thomas was selected towards the either middle or towards the end of the first round of where you could have selected a Marvin Harrison Jr. or Neighbors. And it makes me think now. And obviously, the talent's a little different this year in the 2005 rookie class, right? But it makes you think of if you do have that first overall pick, if you do have the second overall pick, just how the season with Caleb Williams went, how the season with Marvin Harrison Jr. went, of if you have those picks, trade those back and get even a bigger hole into, rebuilding or making a push for that next year championship if you do have that number one or that number two. So I, going forward, if I had to give a number one, I'm gonna be biased. Go Dawgs. If you're talking about 2024 class wise, just season. I'm not talking about longevity. I'm not talking about going forward. Just 2024, I believe you have to do Brian. I'll go Ladd McConkey, number one for 2024. Brian Thomas, number two. Malik Nabers, number three. Adunze is probably going to be last on this list just because of the season that they've had. And he had one really good game this year, which leads me to believe that, hey, Adunze wasn't bad. He doesn't suck. It's just that offensive scheme right now is just not getting the ultimate potential out of that, out of those guys, right? And it also led me to believe that Michael Penn has got guys paid. Michael Penn has got guys drafted quite highly in this last draft. He got Jalen Polk drafted high. He got Odunze drafted high. And then he got Jalen McMillan drafted. Now, we're going to see if Jalen McMillan can come through today for the Buccaneers. with that Panthers defense being what it is. Yeah, he's 3 weeks he's had a touchdown. So
he's the best one out of those three in this rookie season.
100%. And I didn't toss him up there because he wasn't considered one of those top level guys in this draft. But you can also go into towards the later year, end of the year, that Jalen McMillan has been coming on. Then you think about other guys like Xavier Leggett hasn't had a good year. You think of other guys such as the dude from his name is throwing me off. The dude from it's gonna mess me up. The Bengals wide receiver Jermaine Burton hasn't done nothing. So Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze, those guys, and last year's draft was considered a top level, like a wide receiver heavy draft. And you only, from what I've seen, only really, like you had glimpses from quite a few guys, but really, Ladd McConkey, Brian Thomas Jr., Malik Nabers, I think I've sold Marvin Harrison Jr. this year for 3 firsts. I feel really good about that. You know what I'm saying? I feel really good on that return.
People are too smart in the league where I have them, and they're like, I don't know.
I did it earlier in the year, so I got out that way. But that's how I feel about those guys, right?
I'll say that Ladd has definitely been the most impactful on a winning team this year. And BTJ has probably been the most alpha out of all of them. I mean, he's just kicking ass on a shit team, and he looks like the prototype. He looks like that next great alpha receiver. MHJ, we need to see in some improvement. I hope they improve the line a little bit, and him and Kyle Murray get that connection going in the offseason. Malik Nabers, all he needs is a competent QB, and he might be the best on this whole list.
Shedeur Sanders. Throw in Shedeur Sanders. He didn't have a good game.
I'm cool with either one. Just somebody that's willing to throw the ball. If you're willing to throw the ball, he'll make some magic happen.
And I also like Cam Ward for him. Yeah.
Good luck. I mean, the Bears are a mess.
Yeah, we don't. It's once again. I got to see if Ben Johnson ends up going to Chicago. Sign me up, 100%. But our topic before we get into our Debbie Player of the Week, just looking at the time, we're at 12:35. You know, we like to get out of here at 12:45 to just get an extra look at our lineups, make sure everything is straight. So just making sure we get out of here on time. T. Higgins had himself a day, 11 catches, 131 yards, 3 touchdowns. My goodness. We don't expect, right, T. Higgins to be back in Cincinnati.
I think he might be back.
You think so? With the back that Jamar Chase is about to command after this year?
I think he might. They're starting to. They're starting to whisper Kumbaya over there. They have a special offense, and T. Higgins might be willing to take less because he knows wherever he goes, he's not going to play with the best QB, his words, in the league. So I think there's maybe about a 30% chance he's back. The odds are higher for him to go there than any other team.
I personally would like him to be. I said this in our fantasy chat on Twitter. I would like him to see him in Charlotte. I'd like to see him with the Panthers. I think Bryce Young would benefit greatly. Obviously, that would kill. I don't think it would. Actually, maybe it wouldn't kill too much Xavier Leggett's value.
Maybe
but
he sucks.
He hasn't been good, so I can't. He hasn't built up to that position, so you know. But I would like to see T. Higgins, you know. But also, I would also like to see T. Higgins stay because I have Ja'Marr Chase in quite a few leagues, and I think that would help Ja'Marr Chase out a lot so he doesn't get double teamed.
I think a couple good spots for him that I would be interested in seeing him go would be the Patriots to be a true number one for them. If he wants to get with a QB that has a lot of talent and be the number one for that team, the Patriots are a good option. Another team where I think he would be like the true missing piece and could help this offense take, you know, a step into, you know, one of the best offenses in the league. And still play with, you know, an elite quarterback would be the Chargers.
That would be okay. All right.
Now you got, I can get you working with Ladd, and you got T. Higgins slotting into that alpha role. Mm-hmm. I think that could be a beautiful thing for us to see.
I can get jiggy with those options. I just want to see T. Higgins ball, right? I just want to see him have, you know, the season that he knows he can, and he's still young, 25. I just don't want to see it go to waste with the Bengals. So, our last topic of the episode 18, Devy Player of the Week. And this guy, it seems like this might be a trend from our last Devy Player of the Week, because he used to be a previous quarterback in high school. But he's not that now. He's a wide receiver. And he plays for TCU. I see TSU. TCU, Savion Williams, 6'5", 225 pounds. Let me tell you a little bit about Savion. He made Bruce Feldman's freaks list. He does this list every year of freak prospects that, you know, whether across multiple positions or just freak prospects. He made the list at number 56 in 2023. He was a four-star high school recruit. And what I like about Savion Williams, and let me get my wonderful clips going. What I love me about Savion Williams, he is a fool. He looks the exact 6'5". Like, he looks the part. He has the size, the prototypical, you know, what you look for from a X receiver, right? That's where we kind of had to leave it off there when it comes to, you know, his projection as a receiver. Because he is, like I say, he used to be a quarterback in high school, but he's been a wide receiver since he got to TCU. And as you see in the clips, he's a big guy.
Say it. Black screen.
Oh, really?
Yeah, do you see it on your end?
Yeah, I see it on my end. Oh, no. I hope that doesn't
interrupt, but I see it looks like a black void.
Oh, no. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me that.
My bad. It was on a roll, too.
Oh, that's gonna hurt my soul a little bit, and that's what happens when you choose a different kind of formatting for these clips. And I might not be able to show my guy, but if I can't show my clips, I will just speak about Savion Williams.
And we can show the clips maybe on the Wednesday show.
Yeah. So in 2024. Technical difficulties, man. That is, and let me try it again one more time. Let's see, local video.
Sometimes when you're doing all this dope producing, sometimes there's a.
Can you see it now?
In the plans, it's a black screen.
It's the black screen. Yeah, it is what it is. I guess
that's all I got on my side.
I'm gonna just have to hide that. It is what it is. But so. I will say that in 2024, he has 60 catches, 611 receiving yards and 6 touchdowns. He also has 51 carries, 322 rushing yards, and 6 touchdowns on the ground. That might not seem too crazy of a season, but what I do like about him, he is a playmaker. And they put him everywhere on that in that offense, right? He lined up as a traditional spot, you know, X, Z. He lines up in the slot. He lines up as a wildcat quarterback. He even lines up at running back. And mind you, he is 6'5". Crazy work. He is super athletic. He legit couldn't run in the 4.45s. He has a size-speed combo that you look for. He kind of reminds me a little bit of that Cordero Patterson, you know, role that he can catch, he can run. If you wanted him as a kick returner, he could most likely even do that. He's a legit deep threat when it comes to using his size, going up. He can use that vert. He can go up and get the ball. I really like him in the red zone. And just for a converted wide receiver, he does have pretty solid hands. I think he's coachable. He has approved every year that he has been at the receiver spot. Nevertheless, he hasn't had the greatest production that we would like to see. But I do think that the word slipped in my mind, actually. But I think he has a lot of things to project for. If you get him into the right wide receiver room, right wide receiver coach, the right offense that, you know, you're not depending on him to be that nuanced route runner, which I don't think he is. His route tree is very limited. And then when you think about TCU wide receivers, one guy that comes to mind, Quentin Johnson. Not saying that they're the same wide receiver Rager. Or Jalen Rager, but receivers that had came in out, you know what I mean? They haven't had the best track record in the NFL. But I do think he's a better hands catcher than Quentin Johnson. That's saying a lot since he was a quarterback. A couple of other things that comes back to it. His short to intermediate routes need some work. Once again, I keep saying this. He's a converted quarterback. And that's going to come with time. But I do think if you get him in the right room, he can develop into, I think, a nice guy. A nice, you know, solid starter. What do you think of Savion Williams, Rocco?
Some of the things that I saw when kind of watching him is I hope he's not like another LaVisca Chenault. And
that's who I came to. Yeah.
Let me say this: I did really like Chenault coming out, but he looks like a little bit more athletic a LaVisca Chenault. I think with the big thing with him, it's going to depend on landing spots. Somebody's going to have a plan for him. You know, we see people like Taysom Hill, you know, get to teams and, you know, he can be like one of their best players because, you know, the team figures out ways to use him. You see guys like LaVisca Chenault, they put in a round peg in a square hole and his career just never takes off because, you know, he never found a good role. You saw the same thing with Cordero Patterson for a good portion of his career. It took till he was about 30 years old for somebody to figure out how to use him outside of kickoff returns.
Yep.
Some of the things I saw, you know, he has a good release off the line. That'll help him a lot of these type players. You know,
yep.
You know, they look good in college, but they can't get off a press in the NFL. Good short area quickness. He's got a lot of versatility. I saw him even, you know, you said that he's a former quarterback. I saw him take snaps at Wildcat. He even threw the ball. A great playmaker. But as a guy that's late to the position, very raw route runner, you know, he doesn't really have a lot of production. He's a senior, so.
He's a senior, older guy.
Guys come out. as juniors, for that top echelon. But senior, he could find a role. He did really hadn't had much production till his senior year, so that's a scary thing as well. But I think with him, it's just gonna depend on him getting to the right team. I know we say this with a lot of guys, but especially for guys like him, because they could either become a guy that helps produce for your fantasy team, or he could be a gadget guy who will only be valuable if he randomly scores a touchdown and he's getting, 20% of snaps and he's not really used correctly. They might just use him as a receiver, but not give him any carries, not line him in at the wildcat formation. So it'll be very interesting to see where he lands, and I think that'll kind of tell us if he's worth investing in rookie drafts.
I will say, if in rookie drafts, you're probably going to be able to get him in round three. He's a developmental wide receiver, or later and
It's a
second. It
deep
depends
draft,
on
man. Maybe a
it
fifth
is.
and or maybe a priority pickup.
Honestly, just once again, it depends on where he goes to, and who knows about Savion Williams. You can, like I said, he could go in the third, he can go in the fourth, but he is one of those freak athletes. I like to bet on freak athletes. You can never, you could very much go wrong with those guys. But a lot, that's a lot about of the sport. You want an athlete, and then hope you can transition that into a productive football player. If before we go, because we are at 12:48, if you wanted a game where you wanted to watch Savion Williams and see what he could be, go watch 2000. Go back in 2023 against Texas. He had 11 catches, 164 receiving yards, and one touchdown. You see him against top level competition, and that's, what at a high level, end all being all, that's where you can see Savion Williams being, but he has a long way to go before that. But I like Savion, and that is our Devy player of the week, Mr. 6'5", 225 pounds, Savion Williams, who made Bruce Fieldman's 2023 Freaks List.
Let's go.
And that has been our show today. It has been fun. It's almost the end of the journey, but damn it, we're going to be back Wednesday. It's going to be a little different format. It's going to be a little different information. The season is now officially over. We're going to be kicking into draft mode. We're going to be kicking into the shit that really wins you championships. That's something. This is what we love. So, catch us Wednesday, 9 p.m. Central Time. Bringing the vibes, bringing it to you. As always, this
Love
is Fourth and Fantasy. Rocco, my boy, it's been fun. Let's go
Let's win
end this
some
all.
ships.
Let's win some
Win some
chips.
championships.
Later,
I'm a
everybody.
small piece in the puzzle of you guys winning.